Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I know I haven't flown in a while, but we usually have conversations about how much I actually hate
you
flying.
Do. Yes, we've had these conversations.
And Chris Ello.
Man, I've been waiting all day for this.
Boom, boom,
the second boom, edition boom. Of Scraby's boom, Olympic boom, magazine boom, is coming boom, up boom, next boom, on boom, Gwynn and Chris.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome into the happy hour, 6:01 on the clock on this Friday afternoon, late afternoon.
Nope, we're in even? Yes.
I thought it's
6
7.
6 p.m. is evening.
6. I keep getting it confused. Welcome in, happy hour, happy evening to you. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Just, trying to get through this Friday day that's been a little bit rough on the tech side of things. Scraby has really...
Starting to smooth out.
It's only taken 3 hours, but we have finally gotten there, and Scraby, is for the first time all day, Chris, looks relaxed.
We can change that quickly, so not too concerned.
We do have a top five list for you today. What are we doing today? I think we are doing our five most memorable home runs.
Yes, our five favorite home runs.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a Bill Mazeroski walk-off to win Game 7 or even Joe Carter. It's our personal favorite five home runs that we've ever seen.
Indeed. So without further ado, let's get to it.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. The countdown is here. And Chris came up with this idea this morning. I obviously think with the home run barrage by the Dodgers last night, I assume had something to do with this category.
That's what got me thinking about it. I'm sure a lot of Dodger fans' favorite home runs might have been the one. One of them might have been the one hit by Chris Taylor in the play-in game against St. Louis. Never mind the three hit last night. So
number five.
Here we go.
You going first or am
no,
I going
No, you're
first?
Going first.
I'm
tonight.
Going first today. Well, I will start with a former Padre, probably hitting a home run in the biggest fashion, biggest stage, biggest moment that you could possibly ever hit one. And that's Joe Carter.
Oh, you are going to
Joe
Carter.
I'm going Joe Carter, number five. walk-off, game-winning, series-ending home run for the Toronto Blue Jays.
1993.
I can't remember. Three
World Series. Yeah. Hit it off Mitch Williams, the Wild Thing. And won the World Series. I believe he and Mazeroski are the only two ever to do it. Mazeroski did it in a Game 7. Joe Carter's was in a Game 6. But that was a pretty big one.
Yeah. Huge.
All right. Mine is on a little smaller scale than that, Tony. My number 5 is, anyway. Home run hit by none other than Chris Ello.
Oh.
I remember it because it's the only damn home run I ever hit anywhere. Get out of here with you.
Our category said MLB history.
I did not. Where does it say that? It said personal
in my sheet.
Favorite says 5 home runs. I hit it at Morse High School, circa 2003, Sunday Adult League game. I can't ever forget it because I never hit one in Little League. I never hit one in Pony League. I never hit one in any other league. And I can't hit the ball very far, but they had about a 275-foot right field line porch, and this ball went right down the line and tucked in around the pole, and I'm still a little surprised by it, to be honest with you, but that's my number 5. It's our favorite home run, Scraby. Get your buzzer and put it away.
All right. Number 4 came in Game 6 of the 1991 World Series. Kirby Puckett.
Ah, yes.
Kirby. Exit stage left for the win, and that would push it to a Game 7.
That was a great call by Joe Buck. His dad, Jack Buck. Puckett swings, long drive, left field, and we'll see you
tomorrow
night. Yeah, that was a good call.
That one, I got chills just saying that last part. If we somehow found that call,
and
that
set up the Game 7 that Jack Morris beat John Smoltz 1-0. So that was a great one, Kirby Puckett. Great player, great person.
Kirby Puckett.
Passed away far too soon.
Yeah.
Number 4 for me, I go from Chris Ello, the great slugger, to Barry Bonds on my 4th favorite home run.
Naturally.
It happened, yes, it's a very natural conclusion to make. Happened in 2002. It was at Qualcomm Stadium.
Oh.
Off of Dennis Tankersley. Tony, I don't know if you call it, a grand slam that hit the bottom left corner of the scoreboard in right center field. I've honestly never seen anything quite like it.
Nope.
And just happened to be in the press box that day. And, man, that one still, I remember it like it was almost yesterday.
It was
unbelievable.
Farthest ball I've ever seen in Qualcomm ever hit.
Yeah.
Ever.
They probably would have, if they had the technology back then, it would probably have been 412 feet. I would have been like, no, that was 512 feet. Please.
I know that I had seen him do it before in a batting practice during the All-Star game.
Okay.
Never in a game.
In a game, man. Grand slam to boot.
Yeah. That, I think it was 92 when they had the All-Star game here. He hit one near that same spot. Now, ironic, was this, that was number what, 4?
4 for me.
Ironically, number 4 for me is also a Barry Bonds homer. Also took place in 2002. However, it was in the World Series off of Troy Percival.
Oh, yes.
In Angel Stadium.
What a game he, what a series he had. Too bad they didn't win it.
Right. Damn near hit the same spot, only in their stadium. And it was it stands out to me because Troy Percival had a 2-run lead, no one on. It was almost like, I'm going to throw you my best fastball, and you give me your best swing. Let's see what happens.
And we saw what happened.
Yes, we did.
He could, the years that he was hitting those home runs and only getting one pitch to hit every game, you and I have talked about this, but that's some of the most impressive hitting of all time. Whether he was using juice or not, he still hit the ball squarely on the nose with one pitch to hit the entire game.
One of the best hitters I've ever seen, and I know one of the best hitters my dad said he ever saw. So
he was good. All right, number 3 home run for me happened on opening day 2018 at Petco Park. I've talked about this before. It was hit by Ryan Braun on a fastball by, I believe, Brad Hand. And it just was because I was down there getting ready to do the postgame show and was standing in the or next to the Padre dugout. So I was about 10 feet away from Ryan Braun. And I can still remember the feeling I had when he swung on a fastball and launched it into the Western Metal Supply building. I just, to be that close to see that happen, I didn't get the opportunity very often to be that close. And just the way he turned that ball around. And Ryan Braun, what is he, Tony, 5'11"?
No, he's like 6'2".
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
6'2". Looks smaller. But, man, did he ever put a charge in that ball. And to be that close to it, that was, even though it was against the Padres, et cetera, blah, 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 it was just incredible. It was something you had to be down there to take your breath away. Number three for me.
Number three for me.
I think you're on number two.
Oh, yeah, because I went.
You went first.
Who skipped my countdown?
Squaby.
Dealing with things over here, guys.
Yes, you are.
All right, number two. For me, I had. What was my number two? Gosh, I just had it on the tip of my tongue.
That was when Matt Squaby took it deep back in the day.
If you had, maybe it would have been.
Number two, of course. We played it in our all-time call the other day.
Oh, yes.
Steve Garvey's 1984. And there will be a tomorrow.
I had a feeling that might make an appearance.
That's two on my list.
Yeah.
As anything that gives me that kind of
to this
goosebumps
day,
to this
right?
day.
We played the clip on Wednesday night. It's almost 40 years later, and it still brings you right back.
Yep. That's number two for me.
The Garv. All right, number two for me. I don't want to say much about this because I have a feeling it's going to be your number one. But my number two is your dad's home run at Yankee Stadium in the World Series. So I'll leave that for you because I'm assuming that's your top one.
Number one.
And it is my number one.
Here is Uncle Teddy calling that shot.
Set to Tony. Fastball high, deep right field. Up toward the right field foul pole. That's fair. It's gone. And it is going and gone. Home run, Anthony Keith Quinn, 4-2 Padres.
Thought there was more.
Uncle Teddy, Uncle Teddy on the call. That one hit off the facade of the upper deck too.
I got out in a hurry.
If I'm not mistaken,
is that not the biggest, as in on the stage, but like the most well hit ball that your dad ever had in his career?
Oh no, that's not the most well hit ball.
Really? Because that thing looked like it was not.
No.
He hit a ball further or harder.
He hit a ball off Kevin Gross of the Dodgers.
Was it gross?
Go back to struggling with the equipment over there, will you?
That was about three rows from the very top in Dodger Stadium.
And that's further than the upper deck?
I think that's further. You got to remember Yankee Stadium, the second deck and third deck kind of overhangs over the right field wall.
Yeah,
so,
but his ball didn't just glance off the upper deck. He almost knocked down the upper deck.
He hit it as good as you can hit a ball, but that's not the best ball.
My number one home run is, it's our personal countdown, and it comes with a bit of a story. April 1987 in Anaheim, the home run was hit
by...
Dave
Henderson.
No.
No!
Sorry. You're not going to know this home run. It was hit by Gary Gaetti of the Minnesota Twins, and the reason it was so memorable to me was because I went to the game on Saturday with a bunch of Twins fans from San Diego, and I mean hardcore Twins fans. They wanted to drive up to Anaheim, go to a game. So we went to the game, and then we stayed overnight up in Anaheim because the idea was we were going to go to the game the next day. And I said, why don't we go find out where the Twins stay on the road and see if we can't hang out with a couple guys Saturday night.
It's something else.
And we hung out with Gary Gaetti, Kent Herbeck, and Kirby Puckett and spent almost an entire Saturday evening with these guys, just having a ball and, you know, doing things that young guys do. But it was a lot of fun. And Kent Herbeck couldn't have been nicer. Gaetti couldn't have been crazier, nicer. Puckett the same. So Herbeck left us tickets the next day.
Wow.
So now the three of us went from sitting in the upper deck, you know, and being little nothings to being bigwigs, sitting right behind the Twins dugout. And wouldn't you know it, in the seventh inning, they were down a couple of runs. Herbeck and Puckett were on base, and Gaetti hit a three-run homer to win the game. And I could swear to this day he looked up and saw us as he came into the dugout, and we were just going crazy. That's just a moment.
That is one of the more endearing things about players of the 80s and 90s. That actually could happen.
It did.
That probably is a far-fetched from happening in today's game.
You think? Why, you couldn't go hang out with ball players?
I just think they're a lot harder to get to now than they used to
be. Yeah, you might be right. I mean, this was just a normal hotel bar.
Right.
And we didn't honestly think any of them were going to be there. We thought maybe we'll see one player.
Yeah.
And then these guys come walking in, and we're like, and I'm trying to tell these guys, calm down, let's just try to make it real. Don't let's go get autographs. Like, right. No, if we do that,
they're out.
It'll be a 1 minute thing. Let's just pretend like that's no big deal and see if we can kind of ease our way in. And that's what happened. And we just had a fantastically fun night. And then they left us tickets. So we thought that was the end of it. And then Gaetti hit the home run. Oh, my God. We were in
that's
heaven.
A heck of a story, by the way.
It was fun. It was fun. So that's my number one favorite home run, or at least that's the one I thought of.
That was good.
The countdown.
That was a good countdown. Can't wait for next week's countdown. Let's get to break.
We don't have one next week.
Oh, that's good call, Scrape. Good call.
Scraby, the bearer of correct information.
He's on it today.
Always. That's my nickname.
He's been locked in today. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, I think we should discuss this 5K that Scraby's
let's get ready, man.
Let's get Scraby ready for this 5K that fortunately he doesn't have to wear anything crazy to run it tomorrow. Because
I don't know what we'll talk about.
We'll talk when we come back. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Have not updated you on this ALCS in a little while. That's because not much has happened since the last time we checked in. Houston still leading Boston 1-0. Bottom of the fourth inning, only run of the game came in the bottom of the first inning after a two-out single by Alex Bregman. Yordan Alvarez hit a deep fly ball to center field. Kike Hernandez went to catch it on the warning track, and it glanced off the heel of his glove. They ruled a double. I would call error, but either way, the Astros scored, and they still lead 1-0. Luis Garcia starting tonight for the Astros. Tony and I were discussing whether he'd make it through two or three innings tonight. Well, four no-hit innings so far.
Right, he ain't just made it through. He is
skating
cruising
through.
Right.
And Nathan Eovaldi for Boston in a little bit of a jam here in the bottom of the fourth with two runners on and nobody out. 1-0 Houston.
Just real quick, your Bulls are up 20 right now. Just want
good.
To put that up.
I like to hear that. Very good. Good news. That sends us toward you said this is an anniversary today, not not my anniversary, but
no,
it is my anniversary,
is.
But that's not what you were referring
no.
to.
No,
you're referring to a college football game that we should all remember, and for some reason I don't.
I don't remember this either, but 5 years ago today, the Oklahoma Sooners beat the Texas Tech Raiders 66-59. And the reason that's such a big deal
Baker
is because
and,
Baker
Patrick.
Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes went head-to-head. Here are the stats, and these are ridiculous. Baker Mayfield, 27-36, 545 yards passing, 7 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, 52-88.
88?
734 yards passing. Just, 5 touchdowns and an interception.
And if I'm not mistaken, Ryan Gosling's lookalike was coaching that day.
Yes,
Cliff
yes,
Kingsbury was the Texas yes. Tech coach, yeah.
And there is NFL stars.
88 passes?
Yeah, there's NFL stars all over the place.
By the way,
Joe Mixon.
By the way, that is another indication of how much better the NFL is than college.
Oh, yeah.
You said Baker Mayfield went 22.
7 for 35. 20, and had
he threw 35 yeah. passes and had 500 yards passing. Over 500 yards.
That's actually a much better performance than 88 passes for 727 yards.
It is. But you would not be able to come close to 500 yards in the NFL only throwing 35 passes.
And the craziest part, I'm looking at the total stats. This is insane. The total yards in the game, both of them, 854 yards on the dot.
Exactly?
Yeah, on the dot.
Wow.
Passing, they had 309 yards rushing, the Sooners did. But Patrick Mahomes threw for 734 yards.
You know, I'm still in awe. How much did he throw for? 724?
734.
734. You know who holds the NFL record for most passing yards in one game?
We've done this before. Some guy from the Rams back in the day.
That's right. Norm Van Brocklin, 1951.
Of course, Van Brocklin.
Well, the reason I bring it up is not to show how old I am. And I wasn't alive for this particular game.
Are you sure?
I was sure. But
you are playing
old
man golf these days.
Stop it. It's to point out the fact that he set the passing record of 554 yards in 1951. And nobody in this day and age of pass-happy football has broken that record. Yeah. It still stands.
Yeah.
That is pretty incredible.
That is ridiculous, right? I mean, all of the unbelievable quarterbacks have come along. Now, I was trying to see what Van Brocklin's actual stats were for that game, but I'm not able to pull it up right now. So if I come up with it in this segment, I will. I'm just curious how many pass attempts he had in that game, but he threw for 554 yards. It is still the all-time single game record for the National Football League. It's one of the oldest records in sports, and you would think that it would be broken almost every Sunday the way they throw in the NFL these days.
It was 54-14?
I don't know what the score of the game was.
Okay, here it is. I found it.
Okay.
Wow. 27 for 41, 554. Five touchdowns,
41
two picks.
Passes.
41 passes. So, I mean, that was like a season's worth in 1951.
Right. I wonder what his next closest was to that in that season.
Do you have his game log there, Scraby, or no?
I can get it.
Yeah, I was looking for it, and I'm not able to come up with it. But I just think I bring it up from time to time because I think it blows your mind that the passing record came in an era where nobody threw the football.
Yeah.
And it's still the record.
And now we are in, you know, bring it back to my original point of how much better the guys are in the NFL than they are at the college level, right? Because there was a debate a while back when Miami was really, really, really good. That could they beat one of the worst team in the NFL? And the answer is not even close.
Oh, the undefeated Dolphins? Yeah, even I as a Dolphin would tell you they don't have a chance to beat
a
team.
No, not the undefeated. I'm talking about the Miami Hurricanes when they were in that early 2000 phase when they were churning them out.
Oh, yeah. Could they beat the Saints or something?
Right. And there's no shot.
Give me a break.
That was in the first game of the year, by the way.
Yes. And did you see the most he got after that? I'm calling up his game log. Most he got in any game after that was 167.
It's crazy.
What were they doing? Trick plays the whole game?
I don't know.
2, 3, 4, 5 under 100-yard passing appearances.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That is.
So Norm Van Brocklin.
Man, you know the worst part about Van Brocklin right there is that he probably was like, we're gonna explode on offense this year.
We're going to be awesome.
And then struggled to get to that 100-yard mark ever since.
554. And it's still it's the most mind-boggling record in major pro sports.
I'm really surprised that no modern-day NFL quarterback has thrown for 600.
Yeah, without question. And you mentioned Mahomes got over 700 in a college game.
That's insane.
That's like video game, literally video game numbers right there.
Like, did the defense just say, we're just going to stand here, and you could score?
Who holds the second most passing yards in a game just for fun?
Is it
Peyton?
Drew Brees?
You never get it. That's two guys. Warren Moon, 527, and also Matt Schaub, 527.
Matt Schaub made a killing in the NFL.
There you go. Nobody's even come within 25 yards of Norm Van Brocklin. He's got the record by 554 to 527.
Is that one of D-Hop's quarterbacks?
Matt Schaub. I think he was before D-Hop.
Okay.
He broke this record he set this mark in 2012.
I only mentioned that because D-Hop was thanking, you know, all of the quarterbacks that he had. And I think he had, what was the big
tall
Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler on there.
He's had some good ones. Yeah.
Brandon Whedon, who went on to play baseball after a little bit or before. Yeah.
How about this? There's only been 25 500-yard passing games in NFL history.
Wow.
25. Roethlisberger's got four of them.
I was about to say, how many, like, after?
Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Most of them are in the 2000s, at least, and most of them in the 2010s. But Van Brocklin, 1951, still stands. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
I expected, like, every Sunday, I expect Scott Hansen on the Red Zone to be telling me, hey, there's a new NFL passing record. I mean, they do it every week, but nope.
Yeah, it does. It does seem to.
It doesn't make, doesn't jive with the rest of the
seeing,
football
right?
world. Yeah,
seems like scoring is easier than it's ever been, but
yeah.
that just hasn't happened. Real quick, Scrape, you got your 5K tomorrow.
I have
you been training for this at all?
I've been running twice a week for like the last 5 weeks.
What's the farthest you've run? Like in a training
Tuesday. 2.5. I haven't even made it to the 5K yet.
The 5K is 3.1. So you'll have a little bit
better.
More.
I thought it was 3.2.
No, 3.1. 10K
you
is 6.2.
Get a little relief there.
So you save a 10th.
What's your fastest mile?
Oof, I don't even want to admit it on the radio.
Oh, I bet it's about a 12-minute mile, which isn't awful.
Chris
11
wasn't
or 12.
In the room when I told Tony.
He sure wasn't. That's pretty
but
good.
I'm
but I would think 11 to 12 minutes, so three
it's
miles.
Not 11. It's definitely in the 12.
Closer to the 12. All right. So closer to the 12, 3 miles would be 36 minutes. But there's no way you're going to do back to back to back 12 minute miles. You're going to slow down.
Oh, yeah.
So your time tomorrow is going to be over under 41 minutes.
41 minutes. I can buy
40.
That.
I'm going to say 40.
What would that be?
That's the over under. That'd be about a 12-minute mile plus a little bit.
Ooh,
a little bit of change.
I'm going to say 45.
45. You're saying
45.
Huh?
I bet you I'm in between 40 and 45.
That sounds about where you'll land.
I don't know the course either, and I have to get up at 5:30 tomorrow morning to do this because the thing starts at 7. I got to find parking.
Have you been like hydrating correctly?
You haven't done anything today. I haven't seen you hydrate.
I haven't.
I don't see you eating any pasta.
Well,
I don't
told me
see
not
any
to eat carbs. Every time
well,
I eat carbs,
I did, but if you're not, if you're getting ready for a race, you got a carb load.
I didn't even think about the hydration part.
He's gonna shit.
But his body's gonna shut. Forget the 45 minutes. We have to time him with a calendar.
No, I've never had my body shut down in any of my runs here recently.
You haven't gone
the extra half mile, man.
At least two and a half. I will say I'm between 40 and 45, and I bet you a little bit of adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah, I hope so for your sake.
Yeah, for my sake as well. I have really, really enjoyed. This is a promotion for something that is not paying me, but I've really enjoyed the Nike Run Club app. The coach on there has taught me how to do my breathing.
Breathing is important when you're running.
Very important, and you also need
to. It's a good idea to breathe.
Well, no, the breathing as in like.
Your rhythm.
You have to, yes, your rhythm, and then you also let your face. Your muscles in your face fall because when you're trying to keep your face up, it takes a lot of energy.
Just think about Shaq when he used to run down to the other end of
his face.
He didn't like. He didn't try to stop it. So
yeah,
that's true. That's what you're thinking.
Real quick, now that we're doing that, we'll update you on.
I want a little bit more on this because we better remember when we get back in a week from Monday.
I'll
to
remember.
Give us
I'll probably
a report.
Still be sore.
He might still be running.
We'll remember when he walks into the room. Real quick, the Red Sox were in trouble here. Astros had second and third, no out. They loaded the bases with one, and Nathan Eovaldi got out the inning with
no score. Houston. So they still lead 1-0. Okay, going to the top of the fifth inning.
You have more questions, Chris?
I don't. Right. I'm just do you know what you're going to wear? Because you're not wearing one of these silly outfits that you're supposed to wear.
They forgot.
But I know
great.
You. And do you even have any running shorts? I mean, you might wind
I've
up
got,
in
like,
sweats and a
shorts.
Sweats and a you know.
What does one wear for a
5K.
For a 5K, just some running
attire?
Shorts and a tank top.
Are we taking into account that it's going to get, could be chilly?
You'll warm up.
Where is it at?
You'll warm up. Balboa Park, Tony. Come on, I'm picking you up.
Get with it.
Tony, I'm picking you up at 6:30.
I'm
we're heading
saying,
down there.
The last time I was at Balboa Park was for a cross-country run when I was at San Diego State. And the reason why I bring up Scraby's body shutting down is because I saw some real like cross country.
But those guys are doing like marathons.
I'm just saying, Scrape.
They're going really fast.
This could be a shock to the body.
I'm aware.
But you haven't been carb loading. You haven't been drinking
water. I don't need
water.
To carb load. I got enough carbs for like years. Like, but
that's not how it works, man.
You got enough carbs.
I will
for
actually.
Years.
You guys have scared me in the hydration part,
yes.
So I'm going
Please
to be drinking a ton
start
of water.
Drinking
tonight.
Water right now.
Real quick before we go to break. We will update you on that when we get back for vacation. But Dennis Lynn sent out a tweet an hour ago, and we're going to be playing Dennis Lynn for our interview of the week. But he is from The Athletic, and he's saying that Mike Schilt is going to interview this weekend for the manager opening. So we also asked Dennis Lynn about Mike Schilt in our interview with him earlier in the week. But that's just a little update, is that Mike Schilt will be interviewed this weekend.
Word. Good stuff, Scrape.
Word.
Thanks. Word.
All right. Break time and then our interview of the week when Gwen and Quarter, whatever her What's name that? Is. Oh, no.
We're in the final half hour of our Gwen show before Crom. Vacation. Gwen and Craw.
You'll hear that again.
On 97.3, the Craw.
637, winding down. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris L.O.
Gwen and Croc.
Gwen and Craw.
Matt Scraby here with you. Astros still leading 1-0. Luis Garcia still has a no-hitter through five now.
Yeah.
Rolling.
Hunter Renfro just swung at one. You know, we do wonder as fans, and I'm sure you can tell us, Tony, but how do you swing at one that bounces like in the other batter's box? But it's easy for us to ask that question. We've never been up there facing those
pitches. I sometimes
pitches.
Ask myself, too, watching on TV, and then I can quickly close my eyes and realize.
Tony, you did that a couple times.
I did that more than a couple times. So it is a lot easier said than done.
Is this the second game in a row now the Astros are working on a no-hitter?
Framber Valdez did have a no-hitter going
there
for
a
while.
I think he
had a perfect game for a little bit.
Yeah. But the Red Sox don't have any hits.
God, the Red Sox have three runs in the last 2.5 games. Who would have predicted that after the way they swung the bat in games 2 and 3?
They used up all the runs too early.
I guess so.
How about some traffic?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our interview of the week takes us back to Tuesday when we had Lynn from The Athletic on to talk everything Padres and specifically that managerial opening that they have. Dennis, you've been the Athletic and yourself and a few of your colleagues have been at the heart of a lot of information that has come out in San Diego and with this Padre Ball Club. And now they're in a search for a manager. And Aaron Boone comes off the list today. It seems as though Mike Schilt would get an interview. But there has been at least one report saying that Ron Washington at this point right now won't be given an interview. Are you hearing the same thing? And if so, why is that, do you think?
Yeah, I am hearing the same thing. And this isn't just a matter of waiting until the Braves are done with their postseason. Doesn't seem like he's going to be, at this point at least, considered this time around, which I know probably strikes a lot of people as weird, seeing as how he was the other finalist, or I guess you'd call him runner-up last time to Jace Tingler. But, yeah, the reasons why, the Padres are being pretty tight-lipped, as you might imagine, with everything these days, but, you know, especially with a manager search and Ron Washington maybe in the past 2 years, something's changed for the Padres that they feel like they want to go in a different direction just as they did with Jace Tingler and Ron Washington 2 years ago. But it's not entirely clear right now why they might not be considering him this time. But I think just generally speaking, there's a feeling, I think, from coming out from outside Cutco Park that A.J. Preller wants what San Francisco and L.A. have in their managers. And not necessarily a young guy. Doesn't have to be a young guy, but just the word you hear is total alignment with the front office. And, you know, for better or worse, that's what he's after. So I think just looking at it right now, and again, it's really hard to know exactly what they're thinking because they're not saying, but I think I would lean toward maybe not one of the older veteran managers that you're hearing fanning out about there. But I think we're still early in the interview process. I don't even know if formal interviews even happen. So, you know, things can change quickly, but that's just kind of the feeling that I get right now.
Dennis, you kind of touched on it. I mean, if they want total alignment with the front office, that would seem to really make it difficult for somebody like a Bochy or a Buck Showalter to accept this position. But let me ask you, as far as the controlling nature of things, is the word on the street that A.J. Preller is the kind of guy that really doesn't want to sacrifice any kind of control over what's going on the field? And if so, is that serving him well? I mean, maybe it's best to have an opposing voice once in a while, you know, who doesn't necessarily agree with everything the way things are being run.
Yeah, that's, I guess that'd be new territory, right, for A.J. Preller and the Padres if they, after Andy Green and Jace Tingler, they went in a totally different direction with a very, very strong voice with a guy who comes in with immediate cachet and really strong opinions. And not to say that, you know, Jace and Andy didn't have it actually, you know, toward the end, especially even in 2018, I think there were, you know, more disagreements, you know, started between Andy and AJ. And maybe part of that was because they didn't know each other coming into the process. They didn't have a prior relationship. But I think if you're looking at a, you know, Bochy or a Buck Showalter, even going back to Ron Washington, those are guys who are going to come in with really strong opinions, really strong convictions on the way things should be done. And I don't think it's out of the question that some of those guys, a couple of those guys might get an interview, especially Bochy. I would think he might at least get an interview. But I think, this is just the way things in baseball have really shifted, including not only with the Padres, but with A.J. Preller. But the front office has a lot of say in what's going on. Not necessarily always over like lineup decisions or, you know, minute things, but just general philosophies. And you saw what happened with Mike Schilt in St. Louis. I mean, we don't know the exact reasons. We've heard some of the reasons, but he's a guy who's going to come in. But at the same time, I think, you know, he might be a long shot as well, even if he does interview, which I do expect, to maybe get on entirely the same page as A.J. Preller. And maybe he does need a different voice coming in. But, you know, he's the one running the show, and it's not just unique to San Diego, where the GM wants pretty much control over all aspects of the organization.
Dennis Lynn, with The Athletic, joins us here on Gwen and Chris on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Dennis, we focused a lot, and I'm sure we'll have a few more questions about it before we get out of here. But how about in terms of the roster? We saw how there was at least on outwardly, seemed like it affected this ball club when, you know, some of the rumors that got out about this team, and it kind of surfaced to the forefront. Do the Padres make? Is there any big roster shakeups you think coming?
Well, if you look at their contract situation, their contract situation right now, they have, I think, the most money in the majors committed for 2022. So just looking at that, it's going to be hard to move some of these contracts if they do, in fact, want to move them. I mean, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers come to mind. We'll see what the landscape looks like, I think, in a couple months here, assuming they do reach a new CBA. So everyone's waiting on that and waiting to see what the rules are going to be. But I think they're pretty much locked in as far as the core of the team. You know, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, Jay Cronenworth. You can maybe throw Trent Grisham in there, although he had Padres standards and probably Trent Grisham standards, slightly disappointing year. But yeah, they have a lot of money on the books, so it's going to be a big question of how much flexibility that Peter Seidler is going to give AJ Preller after they're projected to finish in the luxury tax this year, and who knows what the new luxury tax threshold is going to be under the new CBA. So that's a really important question. But I don't see a huge roster shakeup. I can see them, you know, adding some pieces and definitely starting pitching and a power hitter. We'll see again with the rules being uncertain whether there's going to be a universal DH. I think most people are expecting there's going to be, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered roster-wise, probably maybe even more so than who's going to be managing. But I think you can't discount how important this hire is for AJ Preller, because you saw the talent that the Padres had this past year and 2020, and just who was managing and how that kind of crumbled toward the end, and how that also crumbled in 2019 with Andy Green, although that was a much less talented roster. But you know, there's definitely talent here to work with. It's just like AJ Preller said, a matter of getting on the same page, getting everybody on the same page, and I think you'll see different results if they can achieve that.
Dennis Lynn of The Athletic is with us talking some Padres baseball here as the postseason carries on without the Padres, unfortunately. Dennis, you mentioned Peter Seidler, and I guess the most direct way to ask this is A.J. Preller general managing for his job in the upcoming season? We know his contract situation extended and et cetera, but can the Padres carry on with A.J. Preller if there's no success on the field again, especially with a third manager?
Well, I think that answer is going to become much more clear when we get to that point, or when we cross that bridge, say in 2022, they don't make the playoffs. I know Peter Seidler's already come out kind of downplayed, you know, this isn't a make or break year for A.J. I believe strongly in him, you know, Peter speaking, as I ever have. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, he does believe that. You hear that, you know, AJ Preller does have the authority to make this third managerial hire. So that's not necessarily, I guess, the average way most teams are run. But, you know, Peter Seidler really has faith in AJ Preller to turn this around. And they've invested so much under Peter and Ron, and Ron Fowler and AJ Preller, that I think, you know, they're kind of reluctant to, you know, shake things up in that way by maybe ousting a GM in a year. But it's also going to depend, of course, on what happens in 2022. But for now, I think, I would tend to believe Peter Seidler when he says AJ Preller's job is as safe as any GM's out there. And I think, you know, some people might look at that and think, that's kind of weird, given how much money they poured into this thing and how few results they've had in a full season. So that's really interesting dynamic, I think, you know, for the next manager to come in and navigate whether it's going to be a super secure job. But I think, you know, given what Peter Seidler has said and how he's backed up his words with action in terms of investing and giving AJ Preller a lot of latitude, I think, maybe 2022 won't be as much of a make or break year as we think. But again, I think you have to see how the results play out and go from there.
Dennis, is there a name that aligns with some of the criteria that you talked about in terms of that manager? Is there a name out there that may fit that mold?
I think there was some thought that Aaron Boone, if he became available, would probably be a pretty intriguing fit. Obviously, he's not available. He's staying with the Yankees for at least a couple more years. So that name's off the board. You heard that, you know, AJ Preller is pretty intrigued by that potential fit. But, outside of that, it's a really interesting landscape, I think, right now. It's not like there are a ton of managerial options out there that really jump off the page as immediate fits. You hear Luis Rojas' name mentioned quite a bit, but maybe more so as a potential coach for the Padres after what happened in New York. He might not be quite ready to jump back in and be a manager right away, especially for a team that's trying to win right now. I think if you're looking at other names out there, you think about Will Venable, who I know, Tony, you play with. I don't know if you ever predicted he'd be a future manager back then, but I think he's getting a lot of attention in the industry, being the best coach for arguably the best manager going right now, and Alex Cora. He might be ready at some point, but that's a big risk for someone who's never managed before. So we'll see how much consideration he gets for the Padres job if he's, in fact, even interested in something like that. But, you know, obviously they've got a good thing going on right now in Boston. But outside of that, there's not a lot of, I think, just obvious names where you would think total alignment. Yeah, that's probably going to be very possible there. I think Skip Schumacher's an interesting name, although maybe AJ and the Padres want to get away from this coaching staff, get away from, you know, what just didn't really work out for 2021. So it's really tough to handicap this race right now or this manager search. I think it might be someone we're not thinking of, just like kind of like it was the last few times. I don't think anyone was going to predict Jay Stengler and Andy Green at the very start of those interview processes, although, you know, some people were definitely predicting Jace, just knowing AJ's history with them. So I think right now, if I had a guess, it might be a name that we haven't even heard of.
Yeah. Dennis Lynn with us. Real quick, Dennis, got a couple of minutes left. Looking at what the Red Sox are doing this year and getting hot at the right time. And, you know, it gets me thinking that the Padres have the kind of roster, the kind of talent, at least on paper, that if they get this manager thing right and they get things turned, there's no reason that I can see why they couldn't make a similar type of move next year. You know, Boston's a couple of games away from the World Series. I know that's a lot to say, but this Padre team seems close enough to where if they get this right, make a couple of tweaks, there's no reason we couldn't be talking about the Padres next year in October.
No, not at all. I know, you know, some teams out there still thinking the Padres are really, really close to the Dodgers in terms of talent. We'll see what the Giants do this offseason. Seems like they've got some spending flexibility that the Padres obviously don't. But I think the big question for the Padres is whether it's not just the 26-man roster, in my opinion. I think it's about building enough depth and flexibility on the 40-man roster. I think everyone would agree that coming to the season, they should probably build a really good 26-man roster. But you saw some of the issues they had with depth beyond the 26-man roster, and especially guys that could just option up and down freely, especially in terms of relievers, actually. So that's a big question, I think, for the Padres to address going into next season, just how flexible and functional the 40-man roster is. And that goes beyond just having a really talented 26-man roster. But I think if you're looking at just the overall talent in the organization, it's still way up there as far as MLB organizations go. I just think the Padres need a shell that can, you know, put it to a really good use and kind of maneuver around the problems that cropped up in 2021, because, you know, those injury risks or those injury concerns aren't just going to go away. The Padres need to prove that they can, you know, navigate those things like San Francisco and LA was able to in 2021.
One of the best we have in our business, Dennis Lynn of The Athletic. Dennis, thank you for coming on today. Let's do it again soon, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That was Dennis Lynn of The Athletic on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Dennis Lynn, great job. Always fun having Dennis on the show. Right now, Astros still leading 1-0. And much like Framber Valdez, he had a bad first outing and then went 8 innings of scoreless baseball on his next outing. Luis Garcia is kind of following those same footsteps. I think he didn't get out of the second in his first start in this series. He is dealing with a no-hitter right now through six.
Yeah, and the only, walked one, and one big guy reached base on a strikeout.
Yeah.
So right. He's been in complete command, and Boston's down to their last, I think, 12 outs. Red Sox got to get something going. Eovaldi pitched well, but they took him out in the fifth inning. I mean, that's crazy to me, but we're trailing 1-0, but the Red Sox have gone to their pen as well. So we'll keep an eye on that's game 6 of the ALCS.
You know where I'm going to head on the way home, right?
Same place I am. It's my anniversary. I got to go.
Sonic, right?
Yeah.
It's easy.
Heck yes.
I mean, come on. It's our special celebration dinner. Where else would I rather go?
Well, as I mean, first, I hope Lori is a fan of Sonic as well.
She is, but I don't know that she's going to want to on our anniversary.
That's all right. It's a special occasion.
Yeah.
You guys know how we feel about Sonic. It's the perfect time. You use that app. You can get a half price drink or, for me, a slushie because, you know, that's why I'm going on the way home.
All right. Lori can say whatever she wants. We are definitely stopping at Sonic for dessert.
I saw that grilled cheese double cheeseburger. It looks so good.
Yeah, that's pretty tasty.
Friday night type of meal right there.
Oh, yeah. I'll load up on carbs by eating the grilled cheese cheeseburger.
Just drink some water along with it. Hydrate.
Okay.
I don't want to hear a report of a man collapsing at the 5K
tomorrow.
Oh, my
God.
You will hear that report.
Yeah, please take pictures. Please, I would love to.
I will take
some pictures. Let us know you made it safely without, you know, having too much of an issue. So that's going to
kind of like call me when you get home. We want to make sure you hit the finish line alive.
Local radio producer dies at the finish line.
Well, let's not do that.
Oh, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, right? Basically.
Yeah, basically.
We'll be back next week. We'll be off next week for vacation. We'll be back the following week. Hope you guys enjoy the weekend. Be safe and have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.